Working around trains can be just as hazardous as working on them, compared to the engineers, firemen, and brakemen of legend. Station agents and car inspectors in the yard are somewhat less remembered. Railroad special agents are eligible for the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial in Washington, D.C. It commemorates officers who died in the line of duty. As of 2012, 149 railway officers are on the monument. 113 of them died from gunshots. 33-year-old Illinois Central Special Agent Richard Kelly was shot to death in Paducah's South Yard on May 30, 1935. But Kelly's name isn't on the memorial.
Of course, the circumstances of Mr. Kelly's death obviously couldn't be any more clearer.
That's Albert Jones. He's been a prosecutor, an FBI agent, and Paducah's mayor from 1997 to 2001. He's also worked to get Richard Kelly on the memorial. And those circumstances Jones refers to, they sound closer to Dashiell Hammett than to Casey Jones. When Freight Train 173 rolled into the Paducah Yard at about 10 o'clock on a cool, moonless night, Kelly noticed a rope dangling from the roof of one of the cars. He and railroad inspectors W.H. Perdue and R.R. Fuller knew it meant someone had tried to rob the train. When the train stopped and thinking the car held only cargo, the inspectors fell in behind Kelly as he unlatched the door and began to climb inside. Kelly spied a glint of metal inside the dark car, a gun aimed at him. He'd never reach his pistol in time. He shouted, "Look out!" Fuller said later that's when the shooting started. One bullet struck Kelly in the upper left chest, piercing his heart and killing him instantly. Perdue later testified that after Kelly fell, three or four men jumped out of the freight car and ran towards Old Mayfield Road, firing back at the railroad men. But Albert Jones says the police were well-equipped to begin the hunt for the killer or killers.
Kelly Franklin was a classic head of detectives in Paducah. He had a tremendous reputation of having informants that just fed him all kinds of information. They knew almost immediately after it, and there's some indication in here that they were looking for the guy that did the killing just within a day or so.
At the scene, investigators found a pocket knife and a slip of paper with "We are locked in" written on it. The county coroner recovered the .45 slug that killed Kelly and sent it to the FBI. They indexed the bullet and filed it away. Then police in Illinois picked up a group of African-American men on suspicion of car theft. An officer patted one of them down, a man called West Coast. A .45 caliber automatic pistol fell out of his trouser leg. Police got the gun, but West Coast got away. The FBI tested the gun, then wired the Illinois police to see if they still had the owner in custody. But all the police had was the alias, an alias an FBI database matched to 24-year-old Roy Simmons of Paducah. Police picked him up on August 8th and charged both Simmons and his accomplice, Dubois Pearson, with murder. Simmons' trial began October 7th in Paducah. Prosecutors were convinced he was the shooter. They had the ballistics and a witness.
Her name was Daisy Butler. She testified that they were over there telling what they were going to do and then came back and said they were in a shootout.
The plan was to board a train in Princeton and while en route, tie a rope to the roof of one of the cars, climb down, open the door, get in, then tend to their target, 50 cases of liquor.
They had moved it up. It separated it from the other cargo, according to the story. So they obviously were going to get ready to take it out of there when they got to Paducah.
But they forgot the door only opened from the outside. A moving train shifts and rocks. The 173 did, and the door slammed shut, sealing them in until Dick Kelly opened it. The jury convicted Simmons and sentenced him to death. While on death row, Simmons admitted his guilt to reporters and said he was resigned to his fate. That fate came just after midnight on May 15, 1936, in Kentucky's electric chair, just 2 weeks shy of the anniversary of his crime. Kelly's widow and their three-month-old daughter had to find a way to survive, since today's railroad benefits didn't exist in 1935. Again, Albert Jones.
But the railroad did hire her as a... We had a railroad hospital here called the Illinois Central Hospital. And they gave her a job, and she was able to work there and earn a living, you know, and raise her little daughter.
That little daughter is now a grown woman with children and grandchildren of her own. Janice Cromwell says what little she knows about her father she gathered from the scattered remembrances of older friends. They painted Dick Kelly as an easygoing and fun-loving guy, but her father wasn't someone people talked about that much, especially her mother.
Mother was a private person. you know, mother had six sisters. Right after it happened, one of them lived in Detroit, and we went to Detroit with them. And they wanted us to stay, and mother did not want to stay. And then she came back and brought a young girl from out at Granville to live with us. And she lived with us and took care of me while mother went to work.
Mrs. Cromwell says even though her mother bore her loss quietly, and family and friends didn't, for the most part, talk about it, her father's murder resurfaced from time to time. One unexpected example came when her husband Bill was called for jury duty. It was a murder trial, and the defense had done its homework.
And he would not let Bill serve on the jury because he was married to me.
Everyday life tended to overshadow how her father died, even though he himself remained ever-present in the background. That's until Albert Jones entered the story and decided Richard Kelly's name deserved to be on the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial. But Jones was busy being Paducah's mayor, so...
I've just lost track of doing it. There's an association of railroad police, and I left it up them to get it done, but apparently it didn't get done.
Now that he's retired, and since becoming involved in this story, Jones says he might just pick up the cause again. And that would suit Janice Cromwell, a fitting tribute to a man who made police work his life, and who sacrificed that life for the law on a lonely stretch of track on a dark night long ago. For WKMS, I'm Todd Hatton.
Well, this ship I ride on, she's the fastest one of all. You can hear my whistle blow about a million miles. And I'm heading over this ocean to a better world to come. And you can hear my whistle blow about a million miles. You can hear my whistle blow a million miles. Hear my whistle blow a million miles. Honey, don't you cry, don't you hang your head and sigh. You can hear my whistle blow about a million miles.